Today from Chuck Swindoll.
The ideal is that marriage should be an indissoluble union between one man and one woman. It's based on mutual commitment, love, and faithfulness, and it results ideally in a harmonious and fulfilling relationship. Only death can end. They are mutually willing to change and adapt for each other and forgive the other for wrongdoing.
As Chuck Swindoll just said, the biblical ideal is that marriage should be an indissoluble union. But tragically, there are times when husbands and wives split up. And divorce is not unique to our generation. Dissolving marriages goes back to the beginning of time. Well, today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll will replay a moment when Jesus was cornered by a group of legalists who tried to get him to speak to this controversial issue. His spontaneous answer provides timeless guidance for today. We pick up our study now in Matthew chapter 19.
The Pharisees came. I read in verse 3, they tried to trap him with this question. Verse 3. Should a man be allowed to divorce his wife for just any reason? And Jesus' answer is an in-your-face answer. He doesn't back down. I want you to see it for yourself, beginning at verse 4. Haven't you read the scriptures? They record that from the beginning, God made them male and female. And he said, this explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife. The two are united into one. Since they are no longer two, but one, let no one split apart what God has joined together. So he comes to them with a very narrow position and says, look at what God has stated as he established the guidelines for a marriage. By the way, they weren't interested in an answer. They were interested in an argument. So they quickly come back with, what about Moses? Look at their response. Then they say, why did Moses say in the law that a man could give his wife a written notice of divorce and send her away, they asked. Well, what about that? You can read it for yourself in Deuteronomy 24, where back in those days, life had gotten so messy. Relationships between husbands and wives were so complicated, so messed up, that Moses stepped in and conceded with God's approval with a permission to break a relationship so as to clean up the mess and bring back order in the camp. And in fact, if you will notice for yourself, Jesus replied, Moses permitted divorce only as a concession to your hard heart. It wasn't commanded, it was a permission. But it was not what God had originally intended. His original intent is stated in Genesis 1. I tell you this, whoever divorces his wife and marries someone else commits adultery except for porneia, rendered in my Bible, unfaithfulness. In your Bible, it may be except for adultery. Now, when we get to verse 10, please observe the disciples' response. Jesus' disciples then said to him, if this is the case, it's better not to marry. Now, why would they say that? Remember their training? All from the Hillel school. All of their rabbis had taught for whatever reason. And it was really a number of reasons, and most of them were absolutely trivial. They were raised with this. They had believed this, and some of them were still not married. Some were, but most of them, I believe, were not yet married. And they're saying, well, it's better not even to marry. Go a little further with him here. Look at what Jesus says. Look at verse 11. Very unusual response. Not everyone can accept this statement. That may mean some of you. There was a time in my life when I had struggled with some of the things I'll be presenting today. Years ago, I was much more strict, almost to the point of being severe. I was to the point of being legalistic about a number of things that relates to marriage and divorce. I was demanding. I was unforgiving. I was narrow. And over time, you began to see the picture more broadly. Having been in ministry for these more than 50 years, I've pretty much seen it all. And having gone through what we have as a family, where we rescued one of our own daughters and her children, which I'd never done before, never dreamed we'd go through, but we have. It does something to you. You come back to the scriptures with new eyes and a deeper thoughts than you ever had before. I've heard stories that I never had dreamed I would hear. I've heard of dangerous settings that would have led ultimately, literally, to death of some in the family had they stayed. And there's no coverage of that in a verse of scripture. A person is required to live in that, knowing that every night there could be a homicide. You see, when one gets into marriage, one gets into secrets that were not known at the wedding. One gets into realms that were never revealed during courtship. Because marriage is ultimate accountability. And all the masks are taken off and all the secrets become known. And all the horror of the past that comes from sin is vomited out. Spilled out into this relationship that began in such pristine beauty. Jesus deals with some of the extraneous things, if you'll see here in verse 11 and verse 12. He says, not everyone can accept this statement, only those whom God helps. I like that. Some are born as eunuchs. Some have been made eunuchs by others. Some choose not to marry for the sake of the kingdom. You know one? Paul. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7, I wish that all of you were as I am, meaning not married, so that you can give undistracted attention to the things of Christ. For that's the way it is when you're not married. When you're married, there are things that come up that you must deal with related to home and family and issues that you wouldn't have to deal with if you were single. And so, for the sake of the kingdom, there are some who choose not to marry. And look at the last line. Let anyone accept this who can. I would say that many of you have never seen that in the Bible before. Or if you've seen it, you've passed over it rather quickly. We need to let those kind of statements land with full force. So I'll wrap it up in this way, and then I'll read you something I wrote last night that states my position. First, some are meant for marriage. I'm one of them. Okay? Hook, line, and sinker. I'm with all the complications and all the delights, all the challenges, all the adjustments, all the blessings and all the rewards, I'm meant for marriage. I was never meant for the single life. When I was away from my wife for 16 months in the Marine Corps, I was never unfaithful because I believed I needed to be pure and to come back a pure vessel for her. And she the same with me. I don't do that to brag. It's just my responsibility. It's part of my vows because I believe in marriage. And I was surrounded by those who didn't. They were married, but they didn't believe in the vows. Second, some are not made for marriage. For whatever reason, they remain single. They're happily single. And we should affirm them. We should encourage them. We believe in them and we're grateful for them. And we don't ask them regularly, are you dating? Or to look at them with suspicion when they're in their 40s going, what's wrong with you? They're probably happier than you are. And so, you know, don't be suspicious. Let it be. They're made not to be married. It's the way God made them. Third, some could be married, but they've made a priority decision. Like I mentioned earlier, they want to give full attention to the things of Christ and the kingdom. They want to be engaged in whatever. It may involve travel. It may involve sacrifices. They don't want to put a partner through or children through, so they're going to stay single and stay away from the distractions. Fourth, all of us must give ourselves and others room to live our lives before the Lord as He leads. Because I'm happily married does not mean I require that of every single person I meet. I would wish that. But for some, it isn't possible. For some of you, it never will be. That's not what I want, but that's the way it is. So very practically, I have to live in a real world. And for that reason, I have worked and worked and worked on that piece of paper right there. So I want to read it to you so I don't misstate, and I don't want you to misquote me. Don't say what I don't say. Feel free to say what I am saying. Try not to go further than I go with what I'm stating here. As I bring all of this to a close, I want to do so in the same spirit as Jesus, who said, "Let anyone accept this who can." Verse 12. I want us to understand the words he used as well as the tone. Rather than laying down a hard and fast set of rules, he's offering a principle which his hearers then heard and we now should hear. We must prayerfully and intelligently apply to every situation, ours and others, in this case, every marriage and every divorce. All of us prefer precise, clean, neat rules with hard and fast boundaries that are permanent and binding in every marriage. But every issue related to divorce cannot be settled by specific, clearly expressed statements from Jesus or verses found in some scripture. The issues that result in divorce are too varied, too complicated to be resolved in that simple a manner. Where there are such verses, I love it. Where there are not, I have to think. I have to be wise. You and I have to have common sense. So let me explain what I mean by offering these four principles. Number one, the ideal is that marriage should be an indissoluble union between one man and one woman. It's based on mutual commitment, love, and faithfulness, and it results ideally in a harmonious and fulfilling relationship only death can end. But make no mistake, even that marriage lasts because of the determined effort of both husband and wife who work at their marriage, because they are unselfish, compromising, cooperating. They are mutually willing to change and adapt for each other, willing to release their rights and forgive the other for wrongdoing, and to do so throughout their years of marriage. They give and they take, and that's all part of a healthy, happy relationship. That's the ideal. Second, life is not and never can be tidy, orderly, or perfect. Because of everyone's sinfulness, hear this well, because of everyone's sinfulness, the unexpected and the unpredictable enter into every marriage. What wasn't known at the wedding becomes known in the marriage. Secrets that had never been told are now told, and they take a toll, T-O-L-L. Hidden traits that had not been revealed are now exposed in raw reality. And painful realities that were never resolved prior to that marriage emerge, causing a breakdown in the once harmonious union. And a relationship that was meant to be fulfilling and harmonious and rewarding becomes a hell on earth, a miserable existence. Serious and numerous attempts to find solutions prove futile. And in spite of those attempts to heal the wounds, things only get worse. What was once difficult now becomes dangerous. Dangerous to health and dangerous to life. And what had hoped would lead to a reconciliation and full restoration of the relationship results in an unworkable impasse that cannot be mended and a chasm that cannot be bridged. Three, we who are not a part of that breakdown cannot fully or correctly evaluate the depth of their misery. We don't know enough to judge them. The great tendency on the part of others who watch the breakdown is to form negative opinions of that couple based on verses of scripture we can quote or something Jesus once said, as in Matthew 19:9. But what we don't know is often a major cause of their conflict, since it can only be known within that intimate, albeit miserable, situation. Often the one who is guilty of day-to-day sadistic cruelty or selfishness or constant criticism or unhealthy mental anguish appears to the public to be a model of piety and godliness. And we're deceived into thinking that person is really the one in the right, when in fact, he or she may be the reason for the breakdown itself. To expect two people, finally fourth, to expect two people who find themselves in such incurable misery to remain forever bound in a lifetime of unhealthy disharmony and quite possibly dangerous consequences surely is not what God requires of them. A separation is usually needed, and a divorce is sometimes necessary for health and sometimes for safety of the partner and the children, especially if they have tried every possible means to resolve and rectify their situation. I close by quoting Jesus. Let anyone accept this who can. That has not always been my position, but I have to tell you, I've come to the place now in my life and ministry at this age and at this stage of life where I cannot go anywhere else but here. I can live with this. No one believes in marriage more than I do. I'm a participant in it for soon to be 62 years. I believe in it with all my heart, but I also know there are some who cannot pull it off, though they want it as much as I did when I married. But for whatever the reasons, and many of them surprising to one of the partners, they realize it is now impossible for them to stay together. And I say to you that God, who is a God of great love and grace, has room in his plan for you to move to a healthy and safe place away from that dangerous and disastrous situation. Okay? I'll be up front to be stoned by all who wish. I will not leave till the last person leaves, so I'm not running from any of you. But let me tell you, you're not going to talk me out of this. That's where I am. And it's taken me 55 years to get there, where I am. If it's too loose for some of you, so be it. It may be too tight for some of you, so be it. Jesus said, let anyone accept this who can, and I'll leave it with him. Thank you, Father, for guiding us in the way we should go, for giving the words that need to be said. We're working in my own heart to bring about changes that were necessary for me to become a man of grace and a pastor of compassion. May I never, ever look beyond sin or be guilty of excusing wrongdoing. At the same time, may I free those who have been held fast in their impossible situation so that they might know the joy and the freedom of life lived before you in grace. In the name of Jesus, everybody said, amen.
It's quite likely that this 3-day study on marriage and divorce has stirred up some deep emotional feelings. Well, Chuck Swindoll wants you to know that Insight for Living has a number of audio recordings of his messages on this topic, and a variety of books on cultivating healthy marriages as well. To browse the resources available for you, please visit us online at insightworld.org. Well, you often hear me say that Insight for Living is made possible not through the purchase of resources, but through the voluntary contributions of our monthly companions and all those who give one-time donations. Well, right now, we're making a concerted effort to add more members to our team, because nothing will magnify the mission of Insight for Living more effectively than counting on the steady support of monthly companions. Recently, I saw a comment from a grateful husband who said he's been listening to this program for more than 40 years. He said, today, we're in our 52nd year of marriage. We both thank you for your gentle teachings from the Scriptures. Isn't that great? Perhaps today's the day you'll become a monthly companion. In this role, God will use your gift to spread a fragrance of His grace to all who come our way. Here's the number to call. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. Or sign up online at insight.org/monthly companion. And to give a one-time donation today, give us a call. If you're listening in the U.S., dial 1-800-772-8888. Or go online to insight.org. By the way, did you know Insight for Living produces a daily devotional that's sent to you by email? Chuck's down-to-earth writings cover an array of everyday issues to help you live above the daily grind of life. Sign up today by going to insight.org/devotional. In March 2022, Insight for Living Ministries is hosting an unforgettable journey to Israel, carefully planned to deepen your understanding of the Bible and draw you closer to God. Chuck Swindoll.
For thousands of years, no place has been more meaningful to God's children than the land of Israel. The rugged landscape reminds us to find refuge in God alone. The fertile valleys invite us to follow our shepherd. Jerusalem's position at the very center of the world announces the good news of Christ to every nation.
And now you can see Israel with Chuck Swindoll and Insight for Living Ministries, March 6th through 17th, 2022.
Every time I visited the Holy Land, I've returned home with a refreshed heart for God and a renewed vision for the world. Really, I mean it every time. And so I want you to have the same life-changing experience.
To learn more, go to insight.org/events or call this number, 1-888-447-0444. Insight for Living Ministries' tour to Israel is paid for and made possible by only those who choose to attend. I'm Dave Spiker, inviting you to join us again tomorrow when Chuck Swindoll poses a puzzling question. Who has the most toys? Join us here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, eHarmony versus Disharmony, was copyrighted in 2017 and 2021. And the sound recording was copyrighted in 2021 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.